Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, July 21st, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Mario Draghi resigns as Italian Prime Minister. We are live in Europe with the latest.
The ECB gets ready to join central banks in raising rates.
Tesla shares rise after earnings top estimates.
The growing number of companies slam the brakes on hiring.
And the January 6th hearings go primetime.
The heat advisory extended to Sunday night, and Donald Trump returns to New York for his ex-wife's funeral. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees return from the All-Star break. They play a day-night doubleheader with the Astros in Houston.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We are coming up to 501 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 10 points. Dow futures down 84. NASDAQ futures down about 30. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. The 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 3.04%. And the yield on the 2-year, 3.23%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with turmoil in the Italian government. Prime Minister Mario Draghi is resigning. The former European Central Bank chief announced his decision to Italian President Sergio Mattarella in a meeting earlier this morning. Bloomberg News senior editor in Italy, Gerald Fulton, says the resignation raises the prospect of snap elections.
Elections are almost certainly the next step. Traditionally here in Italy, elections take place in the spring to allow business to go on in parliament, particularly the budget. In this case, we'll probably have something unprecedented. We'll probably have elections in the fall. Either the last weekend in September or the first in October would be the most likely time.
Bloomberg News senior editor in Italy, Gerald Colton, says the market reaction has been swift. Italy's benchmark stock index right now is down 2.1%. Benchmark 10-year Italian bond yields are surging.
Well, Nathan, the Draghi resignation comes as the European Central Bank gets ready to raise interest rates. We go live to London and get the latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Will it be 25 or will it be 50? The European Central Bank today set to raise interest rates for the first time in 11 years, joining peers around the world in confronting an historic spike in inflation. With soaring prices across the 19-nation eurozone, the ECB may even deviate from the guidance it set by considering a hike of double the planned quarter point. We'll find out later today. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Well, in Asia, we've already gotten a decision from the Bank of Japan. It's left interest rates unchanged. We get that story from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis.
The BOJ put its concern about growth ahead of any potential implications for the yen. It locks in an outlier stance of the BOJ compared with other central banks desperately fighting inflation. A downgrade in the growth forecast comes amid new COVID cases at home and lockdowns in China. What the BOJ is saying is you need a solid recovery to make inflation sustainable, and that means lower for longer. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. Turning to corporate earnings, shares of Tesla are up 2% in early trading. The EV market leader reported second quarter earnings that beat Wall Street estimates. Tesla also sold a significant chunk of its stake in Bitcoin, converting roughly 75% of its Bitcoin into fiat currency. CEO Elon Musk talked about it in a conference call with analysts.
We are certainly open to increasing our Bitcoin holdings in future. So this should not be taken as some verdict on Bitcoin. It's just that we were concerned about overall liquidity for the company given COVID shutdowns in China.
And Tesla CEO Elon Musk said the company has been through, quote, supply chain hell, but he signaled optimism Tesla can achieve record volume over the rest of the year.
Well, Karen, a growing number of companies are slamming the brakes on hiring. Bloomberg's Renita Young has been tracking the list and joins us live. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Microsoft, Google, and Lyft are some of the latest companies to freeze hiring as recession fears loom, inflation's mount, the war in Ukraine continues, and the lingering pandemic takes a toll. Microsoft is eliminating many job openings. Google is pausing hiring for the next 2 weeks, and Lyft is shutting down a division and trimming jobs. Meantime, Bloomberg sources say Ford is preparing to cut as many as 8,000 jobs in the coming weeks. The automaker is trying to boost profits to fund its push into the electric vehicle market. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. In political news this morning, President Biden says he expects to speak with China's President Xi Jinping within 10 days. We get that story from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
A whole plate full of issues, but this does come as the U.S. has said publicly it is thinking about rolling back some of the tariffs in effort to possibly ease inflation pressures. But White House sources have downplayed that issue now, saying that Biden wants to talk Ukraine and China's seeming support of Russia, along with human rights issues in Hong Kong and Xinjiang, as well as relations with Taiwan. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. And on Capitol Hill tonight, the committee investigating the assault on the U.S. Capitol plans to proceed with a primetime hearing. Let's get a preview now from Amy Morris in our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The committee is set to hold the televised hearing at 8 p.m. Eastern. It will be the eighth hearing since June and the second in primetime. Republican Adam Kinzinger and Democrat Elaine Luria will lead the hearing, aiming to show that the former president deliberately chose not to intervene during the attack on the Capitol. They'll walk through what was going on in the West Wing during and after the attack and what happened the next day. Videotaped testimony of former White House counsel Pat Cipollone will play a crucial role in tonight's hearing. In Washington, and I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Ahead of the market open this morning, futures are moving lower. We have S&P futures right now down 10 points, Dow futures down 96. NASDAQ futures are lower by 26 points. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. The CAC in Paris lower by 0.3%. The FTSE MIB in Italy lower by 2.2% on word Prime Minister Mario Draghi is resigning. The 10-year Treasury is down 4/32. The yield 3.04%. Yield on the 2-year right now 3.23%. NYMEX crude down 4%, down $4.03, $95.84 a barrel. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 80 degrees already in Central Park and already dealing with an accident. Northbound FDR Drive at 61st. Details coming up in traffic first. John Tucker's here with us for more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, John.
Well, like I had to tell you, the heat is on, Nathan. The heat advisory remains in effect. This runs till Sunday night. And Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn joins us with more this morning. Rob.
John, it's the heat that's been in the central United States that's had a chance to move in over the area, and it will hang around. Now, we have a weak frontal system headed our way. That'll trigger some showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, some of which could be strong. It leads to it not being as humid tomorrow, but it's still hot. And then the heat peaks over the weekend. We're 95 to near 100 by the time we get to Sunday, John.
Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn. The operator of a major pipeline from Russia to Europe says natural gas has started flowing again. The pipeline is Germany's main source of Russian gas. Now, Bloomberg's Steven Stepinski says they're now watching closely to see just how much gas actually comes through.
There is this fear that, yes, we're at 40% right now, but how long will this last? Can you trust Putin? Can you trust Gazprom? Can you trust Russia to keep the gas flowing through this vital transit point? You look at what he's been saying, and he said that if he doesn't get this vital part, then he's going to reduce flows not from 40% now down to 20% as soon as next week. And that causes more distress for the European region.
German officials had feared the pipeline might not reopen at all. Former President Donald Trump was in Manhattan yesterday for the funeral of his ex-wife, Ivana Trump. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
John Trump joined all his children, other relatives, and friends at St. Vincent Ferrer Roman Catholic Church on Manhattan's Upper East Side for Ivana's funeral mass. Writing on his social media platform, Truth Social, Trump called it a very sad day, but at the same time, a celebration of a wonderful and beautiful life. Ivana and Donald Trump's three children, Donald Jr., Ivanka, and Eric, stood with their father and their families as the gold-toned casket was carried from the church. John?
Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett. A judge in New York has ordered Rudy Giuliani to appear next month before a special grand jury in Atlanta that's investigating whether former President Trump and others illegally tried to interfere in the 2020 general election in that state. New York Supreme Court Justice Thomas Farber issued the order, directing Giuliani, a Trump lawyer, to appear before the special grand jury. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshower.
All right, good morning, Nathan. The Yankees and Astros have become a rivalry, even though Houston's only been an American League team for a decade. The Astros have beaten the Yanks in the postseason three times, accused, of course, of banging trash cans and sign stealing. This season, they are the two best in the AL. They could very well be facing off in October again. The two teams return to the All-Star break, play a day-night doubleheader in Houston, make up from the lockout. Yankees are 64-28, and Aaron Judge was asked the reason for their success.
Just consistency. I think that's what it comes down to. Just this team staying consistent. You know, that's one thing we've been able to do all year. You know, when it doesn't matter who we're playing, you know, if it's the, you know, best team in the AL or if it's, you know, the team in last place, we're going to go out there and, you know, try to win every single game, win every single series. And I think that's one thing that's helped separate us this year from last year.
Judge has 33 home runs. That's how many Roger Maris had at this time when he finished 1961 with 61 homers. Mets return for the break tomorrow at Citi Field versus San Diego. James Harden, traded by Brooklyn to Philadelphia, he declined a $47 million option. He's now re-signed with the Sixers. He'll make less but can be a free agent again next year. The 49ers last year traded up to draft Trey Lance to be their quarterback. The incumbent QB, Jimmy Garoppolo, has recovered from shoulder surgery. The Niners have told his agent to try and work out a trade. Seattle, Houston, Cleveland seen as possible destinations. Giants begin training camp next week. The Giants news is that for two home games this season, they will wear the uniforms they wore back in the 1980s and 90s. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. Right now, S&P futures are down 9 points. Dow futures down 86. NASDAQ futures lower by 22 points. The euro at 1.0178 against the dollar ahead of the ECB decision. Will it be 25? Will it be 50? What about the new crisis tool? David Powell, senior euro area economist for Bloomberg Economics, joins us next. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, heat advisory till 8 p.m. Sunday. Tells you everything you need to know. By Sunday, we could hit 100 degrees. It's already 80 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are slipping as investors brace for the European Central Bank's first interest rate hike in 11 years, while Russia resumes sending gas to Europe through a key pipeline, dispelling investors' worst fears. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures up down 9 points. Dow futures down 90. NASDAQ futures down 24. The DAX in Germany is down about 7-tenths of a percent. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 3.04%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.23%. NYMEX crude oil is down 4% on $4 at $95.88 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.2% on $19.90 at $16.97.80 an ounce. The euro 1.0171 against the dollar. British pound 1.1924 and the yen 138.80. And Bitcoin this morning is down 1.1% at $22,990. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. The committee investigating the assault on the U.S. Capitol plans to proceed with primetime hearings tonight. President Biden today will announce investments in new efforts to improve community policing and crime prevention. And Russia's biggest pipeline to Europe, Nord Stream 1, has restarted. Sports, Major League Baseball returns to action tonight after the All-Star break. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John. Thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's turn back to what's happening in Europe. Lots of news coming out of the Eurozone this morning with Italian Prime Minister Mario Draghi offering his resignation for the second time in a week as the body he used to lead, the European European Central Bank gets ready for its first interest rate hikes in more than a decade to tackle inflation. David Powell is with us this morning, senior euro area economist for Bloomberg Economics. David, good morning. We've seen some big moves in Italian stocks and bonds this morning, but not much movement in the euro on this news of Mario Draghi's resignation. What is the impact eurozone wide?
Well, the impact of these developments in Italy is really tremendous. To start out with, even before this latest bout of political instability in Italy, the task of the ECB today was going to be very complicated. It has to decide whether it wants to kick off this rate hiking cycle with a modest move of 25 basis points or a more aggressive move of 50 basis points, which is already going to be a contentious debate amongst members of the governing council. And on top of that, they also have to come out with a credible crisis management tool to prevent chaos in the peripheral bond markets. And like I said, that was already going to be complicated before Mario Draghi resigned as prime minister, because this complicates the situation because it adds additional questions. Is this spread widening actually justified? Because don't forget, the ECB only wants to prevent unjustified widening of sovereign spreads.
Yeah, what incredible timing for a new political crisis to emerge in Italy, just as this crisis prevention tool is getting debated and potentially being unveiled at the ECB. How could this tool work? What would it do in cases like this?
Well, we don't know much about the details yet, and that's largely because up until very recently, the governing council didn't even decide on the details. We had a leak from the ECB reported by Bloomberg News just about 48 hours ago that they still hadn't decided much. And there are a lot of questions to be answered. One is, what will trigger the use of the tool? One is, what will the conditions that will be attached to this aid, what will they be? And another is, how much firepower will it have? Will it be predetermined? Will it be open-ended? All very difficult questions.
And does the situation in Italy make a stronger case for a stronger rate hike move from the ECB, or is that just one factor that goes into this decision that wouldn't necessarily move things at this point?
Well, it may actually temper the calls for a more aggressive move, because probably the perfect storm for Italy would be no prime minister, no announcement on a tool, and a very aggressive rate hike. It is expectations for higher policy rates that has really put upward pressure on Italian yields in recent months. And if those expectations were to be surpassed, if the ECB were to do more than the financial markets have even priced in, it would undoubtedly put more upward pressure on Italian yields. And clearly the ECB doesn't want to create a crisis.
And on top of this crisis in Italy, we just got word this morning on the Bloomberg terminal that Russia is racing to hold elections on annexing areas of Ukraine that it's occupied as soon as mid-September. I mean, what kind of impact could that have as the war in Ukraine goes on?
Right. Well, The war in Ukraine has obviously had a major impact on the euro area economy, and the largest economic impact has been created by rising commodity prices. And Russia today turned on the taps after a routine maintenance check for the gas lines. But there were fears that Russia would cut the EU off from gas. And so with this newest announcement today about the referendums that are going to be held, depending on how the EU reacts to that, Russia could say we're going to cut off the gas, which would be another negative impact for the euro area economy.
And it would certainly be another consideration for the ECB as well. But does the central bank have the tools to tackle the inflationary impact of gas supplies from Russia, these exogenous issues that, you know, with rate policy might not necessarily have an impact, or does it?
Well, the ECB has very little control over global energy prices. And so a decision to raise interest rates in Frankfurt is not really going to change energy prices. What it will do, though, is it will anchor inflation expectations, hopefully, because it will signal to people in the euro area that in the face of rising inflation, the ECB is going to do all it can to keep inflation under control, even if it can't control energy costs.
Thanks for this, David. Great having you on as we await that ECB decision in just a couple hours here. David Powell, senior euro area economist for Bloomberg Economics. Right now, S&P futures are down 7 points, Dow futures down 79. NASDAQ futures are lower by 13 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 5/32, the yield 3.04%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.23%. And the FTSE MIB in Italy, down 2% on Mario Draghi's resignation. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather with a heat advisory in effect through the weekend. We could see strong storms this afternoon. Low 90s today and tomorrow. Mid 90s Saturday, could hit 100 by Sunday. Right now, 80 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin with turmoil in the Italian government. Prime Minister Mario Draghi has offered his resignation to Italy's president. The move comes as the European Central Bank is set to raise interest rates today. Bloomberg News senior editor in Italy, Gerald Colton, says it makes the ECB meeting all the more important.
It underscores the fragility of countries like Italy. You can see that the bond market has closely tracked the stability of the Draghi government. Draghi has been seen as a sort of a guarantor of stability for Italy and for the weaker countries in the European Union at large. It raises the stakes for what's happening today.
Bloomberg News senior editor Gerald Colton says elections are the next step in Italy, likely to take place later this year, and the market reaction has been swift. The country's main benchmark stock index is down, and benchmark 10-year Italian bond yields are surging.
Turning to corporate earnings in the U.S., Karen, shares of Tesla are up 2.5% in early trading. The EV leader's second quarter earnings beat Wall Street estimates. Morningstar energy and resources equity analyst Seth Goldstein has more on the company's outlook this year.
A few surprises, no announcements of new vehicle delays or anything. The 4680 cells are still ramping up. So all in all, just another quarter where Tesla will continue to execute, and I expect things to improve throughout the rest of the year.
Well, Morningstar Seth Goldstein says further lockdowns in China do pose a threat to Tesla this year.
Meanwhile, a growing number of companies are slamming the brakes on hiring. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more on the story. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Microsoft, Google, and Lyft are some of the latest companies to freeze hiring as recession fears loom, inflation mounts, the war in Ukraine continues, and the lingering pandemic takes a toll. Microsoft is eliminating many job openings. Google is pausing hiring for the next 2 weeks. Lyft is shutting down a division and trimming jobs. Meantime, Bloomberg sources say Ford is preparing to cut as many as 8,000 jobs in the coming weeks. The automaker is trying to boost profits to fund its push into the electric vehicle market. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Right, Renita, thank you. S&P futures are down about 9 points. Dow futures down 95, and NASDAQ futures down about 19. The 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 3.04%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.23%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, 80 degrees in Central Park, still hot. Still dealing with the accident, northbound FDR at 61st. More coming up on that in traffic. First, John Tucker with what else is going on in New York and around the world. John?
And it's the heat. If you were looking for a quick relief from soaring temperatures, Nathan, forget about it. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carlin says we will be approaching triple digits.
John, the tri-state area now under a heat advisory until 8 p.m. Sunday. It is going to be very uncomfortable over the next couple of days. Tomorrow is the best day out of the next four because the humidity falls a little bit, but it's still very hot. Big issue today, not only the heat, but the potential for afternoon showers and thunderstorms, some of which may be strong with heavy rain, vivid lightning, and gusty winds. And by Sunday, we could see parts of the tri-state area near 100. John?
Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn. Meantime, civil engineers and transit authorities say the heat is threatening rail networks. Amtrak imposed heat-related speed restrictions within its northeast corridor. The pharmaceutical giant Pfizer expanding its facilities in New York. That story from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Pfizer will spend $470 million to expand its vaccine research facilities 25 miles northwest of the city. The drug maker will construct a new building and renovate existing facilities on its campus in Pearl River. That has been the nexus of laboratory research driving its vaccine programs, including the one for COVID in partnership with BioNTech. The company hopes to maintain its edge in the booming field of messenger RNA. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Russia is moving to annex occupied Ukrainian territories. The Kremlin is in a dash to hold referendums in those areas occupied by its troops to give grounds for Russian President Vladimir Putin to absorb them into Russia. Sources tell Bloomberg it could come as early as September. Meantime, Russia started sending gas through its biggest pipeline to Europe. The resumption of exports will provide some relief to the continent that's racing to store the fuel before winter. For now, it may also ease fears about massive economic damage to the European Union. And a healthy majority of Americans don't want to see either Joe Biden or former President Donald Trump run again in 2024. This according to a Quinnipiac University poll. Biden's approval rating fell to 31%. Fully 64% of Americans don't want to see Trump make another White House bid, according to the poll. Global News 24 hours a day on air. And a Bloomberg Quick Take powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. Almost 5:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The Yankees and Astros were supposed to start the season in Houston. That series put off due to the lockout. Yanks went there for a few weeks ago for one game. Back today for a day-night doubleheader. These two are far and away the two best teams in the American League. Could certainly be meeting in October, and it would be almost certainly for the pennant. Astros have ended this Yank season three times since 2015. It's been so far a storybook season for Aaron Judge. 33 home runs and playing for a team that is 64-28.
There's still a long way to go. You know, this team and, you know, myself, we set ourselves up for a good position. But there's still a lot of baseball to play. There's still a lot of games to play, you know. So the minute I sit back here and, you know, sit back in a comfy chair and say, wow, you know, we got 30 homers, we got this and that, then someone's going to pass you or next team's going to, you know, start creeping up on you in the standings. So I just, you got to keep the blinders on.
Mets return from the All-Star break tomorrow at home against San Diego. James Harden staying in Philadelphia, acquired in a trade with the Nets. He declined a $47 million option, signed for less, but he can be a free agent again next year. As for the Nets, trying to decide what to do, Kevin Durant wants to be traded. Will they keep Kyrie Irving? And the Knicks said to be attempting to acquire Donovan Mitchell from Utah, but latest word on that is that the Jazz are in no hurry. Miles Bridges, Charlotte's leading scorer last season, was in court yesterday pleading not guilty to three felony domestic violence charges. In golf, Henrik Stenson joined the Saudi-backed LIV Tour, and he's had his job of European Ryder Cup captain taken away. U.S. Open tennis entry field includes Serena Williams and Novak Djokovic, but it's unlikely he will play since he remains unvaccinated. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Wendy Gillette.
Another effect of inflation, overcrowding of animal shelters in northern New Jersey. The Asbury Park Press reports fewer people are able to afford pets these days, which means shelters are getting overrun. Some people are giving up their furry friends, unable to keep up with vet and food costs, or they're moving into housing that prohibits animals. The cost to care for one neglected dog is well over $1,000. Traveling through New York City's airports will soon be nice. We're all used to complaining about the sorry state of the region's airports, but LaGuardia just underwent a massive overhaul, and Newark and JFK are also getting improvements. If all goes as scheduled, the three airports will have $25 billion worth of upgrades by 2030. And there's finally a slowdown in the sky-high housing market in Greenwich, Connecticut. Single-family home purchases closed at a median of $2.5 million, topping the previous record set the quarter before by 2%. That's the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Wendy Gillette.
Okay, Wendy, thanks. United Airlines is cutting its 2023 growth plans amid operational challenges for that industry. We get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
United's trying to get a handle on flight disruptions that have roiled the industry, even as it continues to expect profits amid robust travel demand. The carrier revealed the latest capacity outlook as it reported earnings that fell short of Wall Street's expectations. Flight delays and cancellations have battered the industry this year as consumers starved for travel during the pandemic, have forked over higher fares, and crammed onto aircraft. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Democrats and Republicans alike should be able to agree on a simple principle. Immigrants who come to the U.S. legally ought to be given a fair chance to build lives in the country. It's perplexing, then, that the government is denying this opportunity to thousands of young immigrants whose parents came to the U.S. legally for work, but who have not yet been granted legal permanent residency. Those young people now risk being forced to leave the only country many have ever known. Fortunately, a bipartisan measure passed in the House last week would help fix this problem. The Senate should pass its own version quickly. America's long-term growth prospects require the country to bring in knowledge workers from abroad. Ensuring those workers' children can build lives in the U.S. is critical to winning the global war for talent. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. Futures moving lower. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Temperatures moving higher. We have a heat advisory till 8 o'clock Sunday night. Today, look for strong thunderstorms. By Sunday, look for highs near 100. Right now, 80 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are slipping as investors brace for the European Central Bank's first interest rate hike in 11 years, while Russia resumes sending gas to Europe through a key pipeline, dispelling investors' worst fears. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 7 points. Dow futures down 82. NASDAQ futures down 6. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.6%. The 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 3.04%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.23%. NYMEX crude oil is down more than 4% on $4.13 at $95.77 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1% or $16.50 at $17.01.20 an ounce. The euro 1.0176 against the dollar. British pound 1.1941 and the yen 138.80. And looking at Bitcoin, it's down 1.25% at $22,960. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. The committee investigating the assault on the U.S. Capitol plans to proceed with a primetime hearing tonight. Mario Draghi resigns as Italy's prime minister, throwing that country into turmoil. And Russia's biggest pipeline to Europe, Nord Stream 1, has restarted. Sports, Major League Baseball returns to action tonight after the All-Star break. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It's 5:48 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak on a morning where lots happening in the nation's capital, not just the House January 6th committee getting ready for that primetime hearing tonight, but President Biden is apparently getting closer to a call with Chinese President Xi Jinping. Let's bring in Bloomberg government congressional reporter Jack Fitzpatrick for more on all that's happening from our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in Washington, D.C. Jack, good morning. Set us up for this primetime hearing tonight. There'd been, I guess, a little bit of question about whether this was going to happen because the chairman sidelined with COVID, but it does look like it is moving forward.
Right. They are going to have this. It's another primetime hearing, 8 o'clock tonight Eastern time. Benny Thompson will not be there. He has COVID. But, you know, they've planned these hearings out pretty carefully, so it's not as if it's a normal congressional hearing where they might be confused if the chairman isn't there. They're fairly scripted. This one, according to Congresswoman Elaine Luria, who's on the committee, is essentially going to be a minute-by-minute account of why the committee feels that Trump was derelict of duty on January 6th. It's going to be focused on what he did and didn't do as things got worse and worse at the Capitol on January 6th. There are two then-Trump aides who are there to testify in person, Matt Pottinger and Sarah Matthews. Probably a lot of video as well, as we've seen in previous hearings, potentially some Pat Cipollone comments, the White House chief counsel who was very frustrated with Trump's actions. But really, this is a big one because the committee has tried to make the case that Trump violated the law. He knew his actions were illegal. And this is very, very focused not on all the peripheral characters, but on the then president himself.
But in the periphery, Jack, in the lead up to this hearing, there's been a lot of question about these missing text messages from the Secret Service on the day of and before the Capitol attack. Is this going to play into the hearing today?
That is something to watch for. It's hard to predict exactly how that will play into it because it's still such an ongoing issue. And, you know, this is, I think, the eighth hearing. It's supposed to be one of the last hearings, and yet there's still so much that they're sorting through. I would not be surprised if there is some conversation about the missing Secret Service texts. It may be relevant to what happened with then-President Trump at that time, but that's still one of the sort of unpredictable facets of what the committee is working on now as we see what happens with that.
And if this is something of a culmination into former President Trump's actions that day, Jack, where does the committee go from here? Is there going to be a report? Is there going to be a criminal referral? What are we expecting?
Well, there was supposed to be what they initially called a final report in September after all of this. And Thompson has since said there's going to be a report around then, but it'll be more of a midway point or something short of a final report, an interim report, because we don't know how many more. We don't know if they're going to continue doing hearings or they have a lot of work left to do because of the information that's come forward. They've continued to try to interview people. There's not really a set end date at this point for the committee's work. Obviously, the idea of criminal referrals to the Justice Department is a theoretical end goal. But, in terms of continuing interviews, getting the Secret Service text messages, putting more information out, the idea that there used to be about September sort of being the end of this is no more. And it's safe to expect that something is going to continue with the committee because they've really sort of stretched this out.
In our last minute here, Jack, we got some news from President Biden last night that he's getting closer potentially to a call with Chinese President Xi Jinping. What do we know?
Yeah, the president said he plans to call Xi Jinping in the next 10 days. That raises the question of tariffs, if there would be a discussion of tariffs, potentially an easing of tariffs that were put in place under the Trump administration. The White House, behind the scenes, officials have kind of pumped the brakes on that and said there's no schedule to discuss tariffs. There'd be a range of bilateral issues, climate, potentially Russia could be talked about, but it would be a very significant call if that does in fact happen, and President Joe Biden himself has says he expects that call to happen in the next week and a half or so.
Now, there's certainly been a lot of groundwork laid in the run-up to this expected call. Thanks for this, Jack. Great having you on with us this morning. Jack Fitzpatrick, congressional reporter for Bloomberg Government, with us from the nation's capital. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Workers who are challenging the poultry industry's pay practices won a preliminary round in court. A federal judge in Maryland advanced an expanded version of the case against Tyson, Perdue, and others. Sony Interactive Entertainment hired Gregory McCurdy as its top antitrust and public policy lawyer. McCurdy held a similar position at Uber. Apple in Chicago agreed to settle the iPhone maker's challenge to the city's one-of-a-kind tax on streaming entertainment services.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Thank you. Now another legal story we're watching. Immigrants are going to court in record numbers because of protracted wait times for action on their applications. The number of immigration-related lawsuits over administrative delays has spiked in the past 2 years and is now projected to reach more than 6,200 such cases by the end of the year, according to the Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse. For more, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to immigration law expert Leon Fresco, a partner at Holland & Knight.
Leon, what are some of the complaints being raised in these lawsuits?
The lawsuits that are being filed are based on a number of factors. Yes, they are being filed mostly because of delays in the agency and mostly because of the delays in the issuance of green card applications. But really, they're being filed because there's delays all over the system. There's delays in the issuances of work permits. There's delays in the issuances of travel permits. There's delays in the issuances of motions to reopen. There's delays in the issuances of green cards. There's delays in the issuances of visas abroad by the State Department. And so all of this is leading to a record amount of litigation. Plus, there's also people suing for review of denials of cases because the adjudicatory framework is still pretty much the one put in place by the Trump administration, where the scrutiny being requested in any given case is much, much higher than it had previously been under the Obama administration. That scrutiny hasn't changed under the Biden administration, and so there are still many cases that are being denied that shouldn't have been denied. And so all of that is leading to this record number of litigation that you're seeing in the federal courts.
I don't ever remember a time when people weren't complaining about the delays in processing, you know, immigration-related requests. Is this much worse than it was? And if so, why?
I would say that the answer to that question is yes, it is materially worse than it was. And it's basically a case of you don't know what you have until you don't have it. So people, it is correct, June, to say, have always complained that the immigration system is too slow. But they were complaining back then on a state of affairs where for a work permit, it took 3 months, and for a green card, it took a year. Now we have for a work permit, it takes 9 months, and for a green card, it takes up to 3 years. And so because of that delay, that is materially worse. And the problem is we're now a year and a half into the Biden administration. So it's hard to say, oh, well, we've been dealt this terrible hand. Yes, that may be true, but a year and a half in at this point, one would have hoped that the delays were starting to peak on a downward scale, and we're not really seeing that.
And that's Leon Fresco, a partner at Holland & Knight, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLaw Go. Futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down 6 points. Dow futures down 78. NASDAQ futures little change. The 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 3.04%. And our top stories are straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.